flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former 3-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Championship Sunday is in the books. Audio courtesy of Westwood One, Kevin Harlan, the Great Pipes, Anthony Lima, and Daryl Ryder is in for Ken Carman, who got everybody sick at the end of last week. And no Ken to show for it today on a Monday. How you doing, Daryl? Thanks for coming in.
I'm doing fantastic, except for we get a Super Bowl 57 rematch. Can't wait to watch that game again.
We get a rematch, and odds makers say this is potentially going to be a Super Bowl for the ages. Yesterday, Championship Sunday, was it one for the ages overall? First game, you had some good moments. You had, again, controversial whistles here and there, but clearly a better team. I think Philadelphia's Jalen Hurts was outstanding. That's some of the best football he has played in a long time. But in the nightcap, the game everybody was waiting for. It really did seem like the NFC game was a nice prelude to the mammoth game we've been waiting for all year. And I think people were either waiting for Baltimore and Kansas City, or they were going to wait to see Josh Allen and Kansas City. Do you think America got exactly what they were hoping for with a nightcap?
Well, with the nightcap, I don't know if they got exactly what they were hoping for. I don't think there were a lot of people other than maybe one person in this room that was really wanting to see the Chiefs win. I think a lot of folks were hoping that Josh Allen would be able to climb the mountain and get past Patrick Mahomes. But same old song and dance, kind of like the Browns against John Elway in the late 80s, right? Couldn't get past them. And I think that right now, that's the story of Josh Allen's career. Can't get by the Chiefs.
Josh Allen had some incredible heroics. He had some big throws that I think had things have gone a different way, we'd be talking about, you know, with the exception of that first drive where he almost got picked off a couple of times. But the Mac Hollins plays, they were incredible. I mean, it was there for him. They got the stop. Remember, they forced Patrick Mahomes to have to, remember, they got the big sack on first down, and it looked like Kansas City just couldn't get anything going there on that drive. They settled for a field goal. All right, here you go. Josh Allen, you're on the road. You're a quarterback that has no problems playing in those conditions. Didn't even seem like the conditions were much of an element yesterday. Teams were able to look like their normal selves. It wasn't like the previous week in the divisional round where nobody could grasp the football, and it seemed like it was a very different game. This game yesterday was their form, and as much as people want to talk about the officiating, and we will, I mean, Josh Allen got pretty lucky. He recovered his fumble.
Yep.
The fourth and one reach as if he's on the goal line, but he's not. So the ball's live. You know, a little bit of a difference there.
He lost it and fell on it.
Yes, yes. And so the Bills were recovering their own mistakes a few times in that game.
And they were a whisker away from converting that fourth down on what was, it felt like almost a Hail Mary throw from Allen. But give Kansas City's defense credit. When they dialed up the pressure on Josh Allen, it was extremely effective, and especially on that final fourth down. I thought that game was going to end, Lima. I thought for sure Allen, after Kansas City kicked the field goal, take the lead. I thought for sure Allen was going to drive down the field, put a touchdown on the board. Buffalo was going to have to put their defense on the field with like a minute to play to try and stop Patrick Mahomes. It was going to be another heartbreaking finish for the Bills, because I anticipated that Pat Mahomes was going to do what Pat Mahomes always does late in games. But nevertheless, it ultimately was the Kansas City defense that was tasked with coming up with a key fourth quarter stop, and they were able to get it because, like I said, that fourth down throw from Allen was off just a hair. But if it hits a guy in both hands, I think it's fair to say you got to catch the football, even if you're on your knees falling down.
It was definitely an unorthodox type of play. It was almost like a Hail Mary, even though he was open. I mean, you know, Josh Allen saw it. He was open. He was obviously rushed because of the blitz, and it was a perfectly timed blitz. Spags is getting all the credit. If you notice today, I think he's been given more credit than Mahomes and even Andy Reid so far from what I've seen.
He might get some head coaching interviews now.
How old is he? How is he not already a head coach again right now in the NFL? I want to defer to Owen, the resident Kansas City Chiefs fan, because it has to be super sweet knowing America is rooting against you. They're rooting against your team. They respect your team. It's not like the Chiefs only win.
They do not respect the Chiefs.
You don't think they do?
No.
17-3, Mahomes is now in the playoffs.
All I've heard for a month is the refs.
Yes.
The refs just give them the games.
I'm partially responsible. I do not.
You've been majorly responsible.
I do not think the referees gave the Chiefs the game.
Oh, absolutely not.
I do not think that this time around.
What a take by Anthony Lima. And then you got people like Daryl.
Okay.
That come in with that.
So do we want to just...
I can't participate. I'm going to say the F word on the air today.
I'm not kidding.
That's how hot I am about the stupidity of people that want to look at two different line judges running in on two different sides of a line and then adjusting themselves, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Owen, before the show, tempers were flaring in a pre-game meeting as I showed up at 5:59. And we
got my eye black on,
and I gotta tell you, like, I got
better than a black eye.
Ken was Owen was a little, normally it's Ken throwing the fits before the show. This was Owen today. He was a little temperamental. I was afraid
all
that we might have ignited something.
All office supplies still here.
They're still here. The stapler has not been thrown. The pens did get thrown last Thursday. I'm not gonna lie. We have video proof. So Owen, how sweet is it knowing that America is decidedly against your team, and you were able to pull it out?
It is, thinking back to my mid-20s when it was the Patriots doing this, and I was like, you know what? I'm tired of the Patriots, and knowing guys from the Boston area when I was in the military, and they were reveling in it. I'm like, oh, okay, I see why they were still enjoying it while the rest of America hated them.
Well, what's
it's
it like,
okay. I'm cool with it.
What's it like rooting for a team that has more Super Bowl appearances than the Browns typically win, you know, games on an annual basis?
It's been a... I talked to our old boss last night, and, you know, he just gave his congratulations, and he's an overly positive man anyway. But I did say... I still cannot believe that the best player in the NFL plays on the team that I grew up rooting for. Like, that's amazing to me. That the guy that now gets the benefit of the doubt on every call, no matter what. I won't deny that Patrick Mahomes has built himself such a reputation that he can do no wrong.
You guys do have some really good actors.
The things that are not looked at, and I'm not even going to dignify you by even looking in your direction, Daryl. I will now put my hand so that you are blocked from my view.
Travis Kelce.
But what I'm going to say is, for all of the people like Daryl that want to focus on the acting of the guy who you can't deny is the best player in the NFL.
I'm not denying it.
And it's not because he's a great actor. It's because he's a great football player. There are guys on the defense that have stepped up time and time again. And I have mentioned all season that for the last 2 years, they've been carried by their defense and by the playmaking abilities of their defense. It's nice to feel. It's nice to feel this morning.
Their defense was, I know they gave up 29 points, but short yardage situations, you just never felt like the Bills were going to convert. Whether it was 2-point conversions, whether it was fourth and short, and even when they did convert, it was barely. And remember, it took that James Cook run down by the goal line. Yes. I mean, that's one of the great all-time touchdown runs. So think about the heroics that it takes to convert. So we always talk, obviously, Mahomes, most important position in sports, the quarterback, and rightfully so. Like, you just can't get to this level and have this kind of sustained dominance without a great quarterback. The 49ers have found that out. Like, they don't have a great quarterback. They've had
they used to do it, excellence. Though, because they had Steve Young and Joe Montana.
Sure.
They've been on both sides of that.
But defensively, how many times do you see Chris Jones? I mean, how many guys in the NFL defensively would you rather have than him in a playoff game?
Not many.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
That guy is unblocked. It's almost like it's not like he's bad in the regular season. He's not bad.
Right.
But you want to talk about like load management? That guy does this every year at this time of the season. And so that to me was what was the most impressive yesterday, is that the Bills have this gargantuan quarterback in an era where it's never been easier to get third and one, fourth and one, fourth and two. I'm watching Jaden Daniels gets fourth downs and five, no problem, all the time. And yet Josh Allen lines up, game is on the line, fourth and one, and against that Chiefs defense, I don't think he's getting it, and he doesn't get it. Yeah. So that to me, we're always going to talk about Mahomes in the offense. The Kansas City defense is what I was again, just mesmerized by. 216-474-0092. Now that the Super Bowl matchup is set, how are you feeling about a rematch between the Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles, a rematch of a Super Bowl we had not that long ago? As now it's 2 weeks, a two-week hype machine for a game we've already seen in the past. You just get to see the newest installment of it. Daryl, you thought that the Chiefs got some home cooking on a fourth and one. Did you not?
Well, when you have, as Owen alluded to, one line judge is in one spot coming in and the other guy's in another spot, and they go to replay, and even the I'm starting to get annoyed with the NFL replay system too. You got 150 cameras in the stadium. Why can we not get good angles to actually see whether or not first downs or plays are made? Like, I don't get it. It always seems like they can never get the right angle to get the call right. And I'm not saying they got the call wrong, but first glance, initial, thought for sure they had the first down, and they didn't give it to him.
All right, here is Jim Nantz. Here's the call from CBS.
They're going to try the twist push again?
You know they will. They're 3-for-3 on fourth down in this half.
Allen pushed from behind. I think he got it. The crowd here, the far side judge says first down the way he's stepping to the near side.
They're both moving it back. They had it easily over. They brought it back quite a bit.
Tucking it and now going, reaching for it. It's as close.
And again, that was a call yesterday that all of America heard. You can bet they're going to be north of 40 plus million that were able to see that. So, Owen, did you think, be honest now, you heard Jim Nantz, you heard Tony Romo, you saw where it initially was spotted. Did you think they were going to give them the first down?
Yeah. I thought they were going to give them the first down, yes. I thought it was so close that they wouldn't stop the momentum of the drive.
Mitch, did you think that was a first down there upon first viewing of it?
It certainly looked that way when Allen was able to cross the line, but it's that ball in his right shoulder that made it closer than I initially thought it was.
Daryl?
They need to teach these guys on the short yardage situation which hand to have the football in when you're leaning forward. Probably if you're twisting and looking to the right, you should probably have the ball in your left hand. If you're twisting the other way, looking to your left, you have the ball in your right hand.
So there are some tendencies here. I've heard some after the game breaking it down say that the Chiefs certainly knew some of Allen's tendencies.
Allen loves left guard on in short yardage situations.
Yes. And he had already gone over the top, so they knew that that probably wasn't going to happen again. We had watched our whole lives Tom Brady get this every single time. Was he ever denied, especially in a playoff game in a big moment? It seemed like Tom Brady was never denied. Drew Brees, another one. Drew Brees, half the size of Josh Allen, was able to get this. And now we see, and a guy you're going to see in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks, Jalen Hurts, maybe one of the best to ever do it. Of course, there's a configuration there. There's a whole him getting lost in a pile where the officials are like, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know that they've been... They're still crazily successful at it. Now that Kelsey's not there, they aren't... I don't know that it's as easy as it has been in the past. They're still going to do it. It's going to happen 20 times in the Super Bowl.
I mean, by the way,
especially
totally.
If the defense is like it was in this AFC. Because the Bills were on 4th-and-1 how many times this game?
Yes.
Philly is almost trying to get to 1 yard left in the series.
Right.
Brotherly shove's got to go. Sorry.
Daryl Ryder is in for Kenny today on what happened yesterday. A huge, huge showdown. Last night between the Chiefs and the Bills, we have our Super Bowl matchup set. But while everybody was thinking about, well, where are the Browns in relation to these teams? It all starts with what position, Daryl? The quarterback. And Daryl, you think that we are doing what so many teams, not just the Browns, but so many teams and their fan bases do this time of year. We start to overhype the quarterbacks. Before we get to that, there was some audio that came out from the weekend. And I found this very, very interesting because people think that Shedeur Sanders might just have a guarantee to go top three. Where are the Browns choosing? They're choosing number 2 overall. Shedeur Sanders decided not to practice at the Shrine Bowl. He originally was going to do that, was originally going to play in the game. But then he talked to GMs in the top 3 and then decided he was not going to take part in any of that. People are wondering, why is that? Meanwhile, here's audio from the Bleacher Report.
They say you're a Cleveland Brown. That's what they say, word on the street. I don't know where I'm going, I'm just thankful, bro, wherever pick me.
All right, that was from the Bleacher Report. That was Will Shepard, his teammate at Colorado at the Shrine Bowl, saying right there, you heard it loud and clear, they're hearing down there that Shedeur Sanders is going to be a Cleveland Brown. When you heard that audio, Daryl, when you saw the video, what did you think?
That he was being trolled by his teammate.
Trolled?
Yeah, that wasn't a compliment.
Wait. Being the number 2 pick overall is being trolled?
Well, having to come to Cleveland to quarterback the Browns is not usually a good thing. I kind of feel like his teammate there was kind of, you know, busting his chops a little
bit. Now, hold on.
I hear you're going to be a Cleveland Brown. And then he's like, yeah, you know, I'm just going to be happy wherever I'm taken.
Now, hold on, Daryl. Obviously, fans are going to hear that. They're going to be irate. We feel like it should be an honor to be taken number 2 overall. It should be an honor to play for one of the bedrock football franchises.
To be the 41st or 42nd or 43rd quarterback since 1999.
To be the QB who maybe finally puts an end to the futility.
Well, Baker got 53 games in.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you.
Saw how that movie
ended.
A
year ago, don't you think that Jaden Daniels' teammates were chiding him? Hey, you're gonna be a commander? You're gonna play football for Washington? We don't even know the name of your team. You could be changing back. Could be the Redskins by next year. You don't think that could have been a troll job?
They at least have trophies in the case. The Browns don't even have a trophy case.
You think C.J. Stroud was pumped
in the
to
Super
play?
Bowl era
was pumped to play in Houston, and now he's been to the playoffs twice.
Well, I don't know. He might not be pumped to be. And they just fired Slowick.
Yeah, they did. I didn't see that. So I get it. Right now, anything Cleveland Browns has a stain on it. It's been that way for a long time. But, you know, I would say this. The players that are here seem to be fairly happy for a team that only won, what did they win this year?
Three
games?
It was the happiest three-win team I've ever
covered.
They were.
And I know
guys were always in a good mood. You know, it was not a bad locker room. This wasn't a situation where I would tell you guys stories off the air, some of the stuff that would go on in the locker rooms and bad Browns teams of years past. But this was not a bad locker room at all. Guys were great to deal with. But I just think that we've started to do what we always do, and that is try and talk ourselves into players being better than they really are. We had Dane Brugler on Friday, and he basically said, if you put these two guys, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, put them in last year's draft class, they're the seventh and eighth best quarterbacks, okay? So that should tell you right there the talent drop-off, disparity, whatever you want to use to describe it, all right? Yeah, Cam Ward's probably going one. Shedeur's probably going to be the second quarterback taken.
Just real quick, I know Dane said that. I have seen some people say that Cam Ward would go ahead of Bo Nix.
Well,
either way, right. we're all in that conversation.
The bottom line is there's no Jaden Daniels in this draft, okay? I don't know that there's a Patrick Mahomes in this draft.
Was there Jaden Daniels in last year's draft?
Well,
which you get what I'm saying, which is
Patrick Mahomes was taken what in the teens, and he turned out to be who he is.
And Lamar Jackson, end of the first round, now three-time MVP.
Do you really trust this front office to spend the number two pick on the draft on either one of these quarterbacks to bring them in here and turn them into something?
Okay, Daryl, do you trust the front office to do anything?
Not
right
really.
Now. Okay, except maybe trade either four wide receivers or trade away wide receivers.
Yeah, they're really good at trading wide receivers. Not so good at signing free agent safeties. Not so good at drafting receivers.
But to answer your question.
Not so good at picking quarterbacks.
To answer your question, no, I don't trust them, but they're in charge and they're operating the football team. I can't have them do nothing. I can't have this team not move the ball forward at some point. And that's why this is where I think we part ways. And I haven't done all the legwork on Shedeur Sanders to this point.
I watched a few of his games this past year, Lima. Huh? I wasn't impressed.
You weren't impressed at all?
No, I really wasn't. I feel like he's hyped because of his dad, and I get it. I feel like, yes.
You don't think he got better this year?
He got better. He's got talent, but I don't know that this is the place where he's going to be able to develop it. That's just my...
So you don't think any quarterback could develop here then?
I think they got to have it right out of the gate. I think they've got to have it right out of the gate. And if they don't...
So then are the Browns supposed to take a quarterback?
Next year.
Okay, for who? Who at that point? Next year? Because who is that special right now? You can't even say that about Arch Manning. Arch Manning has started like three games.
Yeah,
is he going to be great out of the gate?
I'm banking on next year's quarterback class being better, and my theory...
So do we have to tank? Do we have to tank this year?
No. My theory is this. You hype Shedeur Sanders if you're the Browns, okay? That you're going to take him to sucker a team to coming up to number two, like the Raiders, and taking him. You collect an extra first-round pick for 2026. So now you have two ones next year that you can trade to move up. And if you have to throw in your 2027 first round pick to do it, then so be it. But for me, I want a better crop of quarterbacks to pick from. That's my point. I don't think this is a good crop to pick from. I want something better to look at next year. Get me a meat and potatoes offensive defensive lineman with the top pick. Get me a running back with the number 33 pick because it's a good year to pick running backs. And then you just,
move
on down the line.
But aren't you, Daryl, going to say the same thing a year from now, which is I don't trust this organization?
No.
Or do you think the organization's going to be gone anyway?
No. I think that if they have another year like this, there is a chance they could be gone. But I feel like ownership trusts both Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski implicitly. And I would feel better next year because, again, I'm guessing the crop is going to be better. And so there's going to be multiple good quarterbacks to pick from. And so I'd feel a little better about Andrew Berry hitting on one of those guys than reaching for Shador, reaching for Cam, who are anything but, because those guys are going to have to come into the league and probably sit. They need to develop some, you know what I mean? Like, they're not day one ready in my view. So what the Browns need is they need a guy who's day one ready. That's what they need. And I think you got a better shot maybe next year of that than this year. I'm all for spending a mid-round pick, third, fourth, fifth, sixth round, on drafting a quarterback. 100% and fine. Take a flyer on someone. Maybe you get lightning in the bottle. But I'm not sold on Cam or Shador. I'm not. I'm sorry.
So Cam started 38 games in his career.
Yeah.
You have the 24 games for Shador at Colorado. Then he had games at the lower level. But this not ready versus ready, I mean, I just look at it from this point of view. The Browns are sitting there at number two. It's really hard to be... Browns have been bad my whole life. How many times have they picked this high up? It's not all that often. I mean, you had the 0-16 and 1-15.
Yeah.
So you had the back-to-back there.
Remember they had the number two pick that they traded
Courtney
for
Brown.
Carson in the Carson Wentz trade.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, let's not forget that.
So the only way to ensure that you get back up here would be to tank. And I know what you're saying. Well, maybe you get a team to trade up.
I think they're picking in the teens. I think they're going to be improved this year. I don't think they're going to go through another three-win season. I think they'll probably win anywhere between 5 and 7 games, just looking at the opponents on the schedule and having no knowledge of what they're going to do to change up this roster this coming season. And so what does that put you? Well, that puts you in the, you know, the lower to mid-teens. And if you have that pick and whoever you make the deal with, right, that's picking in the top 10 here this year, all right, yeah, I think you can accrue enough value to be able to put yourself in a position to where next year you get really aggressive to go after one of these quarterbacks. Right now, yeah, I think you're going to hear a lot of Shador and Cam Ward, Browns love there. But I hope that is all being done to convince a team that they're going to take one of those guys that they have really no intention of taking so that they can trade down a few slots. And I just don't want them trading out of the top 10. That's very important to me.
Okay, there'd be no part of you at all that would wonder if we ended up making a trade like that, that, wait, another team who's desperate for a quarterback, they're doing everything they can to move up to get Shador Sanders, and we're just going to wait another year for that young quarterback, which is the one thing that has changed around two franchises, Houston and Washington.
Just because they're the only, like, I kind of feel like those are the guys that are available. That doesn't mean that they're great players. Just because they're the best of what's available does not mean they are great players.
Jalen Milroe's a non-starter. Don't call in here with him. We're done.
I saw some of the clips yesterday, and I'm like, man, I feel bad. I feel bad going after Ken 2 months ago. He looks like he's not a quarterback.
There you go.
It comes full circle.
It's amazing. Sometimes you just watch the tape.
Comes all the way around.
What are you going to do?
Well, what was it?
I know Keith's watching. That's why I did that.
Didn't he have like an amazing half against Georgia? And that got everybody going,
yeah, whatever.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Here it is.
Sure. Whatever. Again, I'll say it. I said it yesterday.
Yeah, he was 27 of 33 for 2 touchdowns,
like,
against Georgia.
Guys, you know, you do this.
I watched him play one of the worst games of football against a bad
Oklahoma
team.
Yes.
And it was all I ever needed to see.
You got kids, you got activities. You got ESPN games on TV. You still watch the tape. Owen has 6 of them. He coaches like 8 different sports, at least 3 that I know of off the top of my head, in seriousness. He finds a way to watch the tape. Mitch has nothing at home. He still obviously finds a way to watch the tape. I got all my things. I find a way to watch the tape. How on earth this last fall did we get to like October? I was willing to give you till the end of September. How on earth in this city did a host, a writer, a TV personality, whoever it might be, a YouTuber, how on earth were you not watching college football on Saturdays?
Guys, I sleep 4 hours a day. If I was able to watch it, you were. And I'm not talking to the listeners. Listeners were watching. At least the ones that know that Jalen Milroe is not an answer for the Cleveland Browns, they were watching.
Well, is he an answer for anybody? Or is this...
Oh, I'm sure...
Like you have no problem with him being a project, right?
Yes, he's a project. He's fine. He ain't no answer. Like, the Browns are in this weird spot right now. You have to find a guy who is going to give you a best chance to be an answer as possible. Jalen Milroe is a flyer. Jalen Milroe is a, if this guy becomes something, my quarterback coach is going to be a head coach in a couple years. Because this is a story. There's no touch on the passes. He throw the ball out of the stadium. I've never denied that. He's a great, big, strong individual who could, I mean, it looks like that John Elway commercial. What was that? The Vortech? The Nerf Vortech football?
Yes.
And remember, he threw it out of the stadium? Like, Jalen Milroe can do that.
High.
Yeah. And I, like, there's, like, this is why I get a little bit worried about.
Is that better than the ball cannon?
Does he represent ball cannon anymore? I don't think he does that anymore. So we can't talk about ball cannon anymore. Ball cannon is a pretty genius invention, but that's an unpaid testimony. That thing was expensive, so I'm done talking about it. Anywho, all you needed to do was just watch Alabama. It wasn't like if Jalen Milroe played for Georgia Southern, it was in the Sun Belt or conference. I think they're in the Sun Belt, aren't they? They feel like a Sun Belt. Statesboro, Georgia, if I'm not mistaken, is where Georgia Southern is. Look that up, Mitch. Say it on the air whether or not I'm right. And he played at Georgia Southern. I could understand you missing games. He played at Alabama, for crying out loud. And I got these guys in Cleveland. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, you were watching football this summer, this fall. Yeah, you were watching.
And what, was it because they were drawing the connections with Tommy Rees? Is that why?
Yeah, whatever.
Well, seriously, that is what people were doing, right?
Yeah, if they want to take him, again, if they want to take him in the fourth round, something like that, but it'd be wrong. It'd be wrong. It's the wrong team, the wrong quarterback, it's the wrong fit. Maybe I'll end up being famously wrong. Maybe I'll end up being playing quarterback for the Browns, and it'll be great. But when you watched, if you saw any of the tape that came out yesterday from the Senior Bowl, no. The processing is fine. But again, when you saw him, I'm not going to be mean-spirited to the guy. But for the Browns, that's not it. That's not it. That is, where's a nice fit for Jalen Milroe? Like the Chargers. Like you're not going to add. No, hold on, Owen. Because they still need some pieces. They overachieved this year. Huh.
Buffalo.
Green Bay.
Yeah, Green Bay.
Green Bay. They need to address the offensive line, Green Bay does. But, I mean, I'm talking third, fourth round, guys. Day three. Okay? Late day two, day three. A team like that. That you got your starter, you got your guy, but we can develop this guy. And Jordan Love gets hurt. That happens. So maybe at some point, Jalen Milroe has to come in. That's what Jalen Milroe is. That's why I was like, go back to college. Go back, make money, make that, and go back.
Did you think of Anthony Richardson when he came out?
I was worried. But I thought that this is a big guy who, again, throws the football well, except... Can he throw an 8-yard slant? You know, can he throw a stick route? Can he process on the run? Can he still see most of the field? I don't need him to throw back across the field. That's going to get you in trouble. But can he process that? And it's been a fight. It's been a fight. And I didn't want to see Jalen Milroe overdrafted. And I hope yesterday... calmed a lot of people down about that for the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, how far do you think
he can
fall?
We're not the right fit for him.
Because I saw some of the pundits scrambling yesterday. I mean, Breer came on the afternoon show and when he finally realized who, what selection the Browns actually had, he said that Milroe is not a first-round pick. He said he's definitely not a first-round pick. Okay, so if they're saying that now, when quarterbacks always rise to the top, where is Milroe going?
Definitely more third, fourth round. Oof. It's still you still have a quarterback needy draft where now you got guys that got to take swings. So there will be teams that are like, okay, I like the upside, and he's a hell of an athlete, guys. You could stick him on the field. I don't know what package you could put him in, but you could stick him on the field. You could put I wouldn't be surprised if in the third quarter of week one, whatever team he shows up with, they go out there first drive, third quarter, and oh, this is a different look. Here's Jalen Milroe. And he does a simple RPO, comes back off the field. Just a different look, just to throw something on tape to make some other team have to work to look at it, like, okay, let's see, because he's got talent. He's certainly an athlete. So that's some of the things that they'll do. But for the Browns, I cannot stress this enough. You are not the right fit. You're not. You need a guy who is going to be an answer in a draft where we don't have a lot of answers. We don't. You're going to need a guy who's an answer, as close to an answer as you can find. So guys who flash more of the upside. I don't get much of the upside when it comes to Jalen Milroe. Yeah. Or at least I don't have the time. This is better. I don't have the time to give him the upside. There you go.
I think we're all in agreement.
Yeah. Because he'll be one of the definite poster children that I put out there for it's going to take a village. You put him in the right spot, you might get something out of him. You put him in the wrong spot, you threw the draft pick away. And this would be the wrong spot for him. The hands, I do believe in the 9-inch.
Was he small?
Rule.
Was he smallish?
Yeah. 8 3/4. I do believe in the 9-inch rule, but that's inconsequential in this case. So no more. Any other observations you had there? Not about Jalen Milroe, about anything else?
Just yesterday, you know, you're starting to see, you know, the silly part. You know, Darryl always calls it the silly season. You're starting to see the silliness of, you know, do certain quarterbacks have guarantees? Do other players have guarantees? And it's very interesting.
Darryl's afraid of all of them. So.
Well, yeah. And I heard the afternoon show yesterday. It was a great debate between, you know, Jonathan is all in. Jonathan is all in on Shedeur Sanders.
I love it. I love that he's all in.
Yeah, he knows his stats.
He scares me about some of my confidences of Shedeur Sanders because I don't want to agree with Jonathan on much. And I go, are you sure you want to talk so glowingly about Shedeur Sanders? Because I defend him. I like him.
Oh, I mean, he was going through statistically all the different columns on that sheet where he's top five this, top five that. And Nick was fighting him tooth and nail on it. So it was really good because I think it's the same type of debate not only are fans having,
yeah,
it's the same type of debate teams are having on all these guys. And it's really tough. Here's the tough part for Browns fans that we're thrown into. And we all agreed on this going into this situation to begin with. Whether you think they need to be desperate to take the quarterback at two or not, or some of the other players, like I think we're on the same page. I do not think there's an easy move for them to make that is going to catapult them, you know, to the level that we all want them to be at, which means this could be an offseason of the lesser of evils, which is not going to make anybody, you know, jump up and down. Maybe when you take a quarterback at two, maybe that changes. Maybe people do just end up jumping up and down. We did it for Manziel. I mean, the city was jumping up and down for Manziel, even though I think everybody knew in the back of their mind, oh boy, this could get dicey.
Yeah.
So
I don't think it's the same. I don't think it's the same thing with him, though.
Well, here's what I'm saying. Everybody is telling you that the ceiling of Shedeur Sanders is definitely not what it is for, I think, a lot of the big time blue chippers that have come out. They're basically telling you, oh, Shedeur Sanders can be really good in a system. He's got to work on some things. Like he's got to figure out pocket stuff where he's not just running backwards. He's not going to be able to do that. You know, obviously his athleticism is kind of capped. The arm, you know, we're looking at all these different things to try to figure out where he is. And you're being told ahead of time, he, like last year, would have gone sixth or seventh, you know, when it comes to the quarterbacks in last year's draft. That is scaring a lot of people off. That is scaring a lot of Browns fans off. No matter how well he interviews, no matter how he has dealt with pressure and adversity, which is what I think are the big bonuses for him. I mean, that program was a walking distraction last year. They got national coverage. They were in 60 minutes.
Yeah. These are all things I said a couple of weeks ago. I got killed for it. Just killed. Just absolutely murdered for it.
What do you mean?
Because I said, I don't want the circus here. Oh, we're not already in a circus? This isn't a circus. I'd rather have that circus. I'd rather have a bunch of celebrities on my sidelines in that circus. I know that you're not allowed to do that in the NFL. But I'd rather have that circus out there in Colorado any day, every day, for the rest of my life than the circus I've dealt with over the last 3 years. If we're dealing with circuses, there's a guy who took over a program that was a one-win football team that people actively root against. People usually don't root against teams like Colorado. They just feel bad for him. They actively rooted against him because of his father. His father is who his father is, a very well-known Hall of Famer, a very outspoken Hall of Famer. He stood up to those expectations. If there's anybody, and nobody wants to hear this, but you know it's the truth, if anybody's ready to stand up to being the quarterback of the pressure that comes with being the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, it's Shador Sanders. In this draft, it's Shador Sanders. He's dealt with the pressure before. He's dealt with it fine. If there's anybody who's capable of, like, I saw him against Nebraska. I saw him leave early against Nebraska. Made me worried. The bowl game against BYU. That was a good defense that BYU has. These are two good defenses he didn't do too well against. But if we're talking about temperament, guys who can deal with the pressure that comes with being an NFL quarterback, I would put Shador Sanders over everybody in this draft.
I think he's already passed that test. Like, whether he can deal with all the other stuff. Some of the times we have these big questions about QBs and the intangibles. Like, I think he passes all those tests.
216-474-0092. I'm glad we're on the same page. I thought there would be a fight about that. I'm glad we're on the same page. Lou in North Royalton. Lou, hello.
Hey, Ken. Lima, what's going on?
Hi.
Hey, I'm trying to understand. So you're saying that Daryl and everybody is noncommittal. Who is the quarterback that you would take?
No, I'm going after Daryl because Daryl basically doesn't want any quarterback. Daryl's afraid of every quarterback. I am not in love. I'm falling in love with a couple of quarterbacks here. And because I'm falling in love with so many quarterbacks, it's making it harder and harder to choose. I'm liking Jackson Dart more and more, I have to admit.
But if you had the number one pick in the draft, who would you take?
If I had the number one pick in the draft, I'd probably take Cam Ward.
Yeah, I think.
But I had to use the word probably in there, Lou. It's still January.
Lou, I don't think it's an open and shut case, but I think we'd both take Cam.
Yeah, I would take Cam Ward.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Do you think that Shador Sanders has the qualities or is it the type of quarterback like, say, a Kirk Cousins or a Joe Flacco or a Jameis Winston?
I think he's in this draft, I think he's closest to it than anybody else out there. I think that he stays in the pocket a little bit too long. He is not a runner. He is not a runner, Lou.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so because I didn't watch that much of Shador Sanders, but I'm done with these RPO running quarterbacks. You know, everybody's trying to find the newest and latest Lamar Jackson, and we see how that works. Well, that doesn't work. That type of quarterback doesn't work in the NFL.
Lou, so, two things. I don't. And by the way, when I was yelling earlier, I ain't yelling at you. You ain't a member of the media here. Okay, you're allowed watch Colorado
Wait, Lou,
football.
Wait,
okay?
Lou, tell me what's working. What's working in the NFL at quarterback now?
You think the Lamar Jackson is working?
No, I think so.
Yeah, yeah. What?
Well, I think so.
Lamar ran into Josh Allen. Josh Allen's a freak. Josh Allen looks like
Josh Allen does a lot of running.
Has like some of the most talent that we've seen NFL quarterback in 30 years. Yeah. What's the big shame in that?
What happened when he ran into he played the Titans the first time and he ran into Ryan Tannehill and he got smoked?
But 4 years ago? You don't think Lamar Jackson's gotten better?
4 years ago, 3 years ago.
Wait, you don't think Lamar Jackson's gotten better?
1 year ago.
I think he's gotten better. He's a regular season quarterback. He's not what's his record in the playoffs?
I think if you were in the NFC, he'd be in the Super Bowl already.
Ooh, that's a hell of a
yeah. He might.
They're running into the best of the best. Like, Patrick Mahomes is
I got to let you go. Thank you very much for the call.
What's kind of hurting the NFL right now is Patrick Mahomes is just ruining all these conversations about the ceilings of quarterbacks because he's just beating everybody.
Yeah.
And the reason that Joe Burrow, people always go, why is Joe Burrow? Why does the media love Joe Burrow? Because Joe Burrow actually beat Patrick Mahomes. It's the one guy that's been able to get past him.
And the other guy who beat him retired. Yeah. So it's hard. It's hard to do that.
Well, I'm curious. Sorry we had to go, Lou. I'm not trying to be mean, but are you looking for some pocket quarterback? And you want Kyle McCord? Well, like, what is?
It's just not what it's. I mean, maybe he is. I mean, because he's going by Stefanski's system. I'm giving Lou the benefit of the doubt, but I think that you're going to see way more Lamar Jackson in the future than you're ever going to see.
Yeah.
Anybody we've seen in the past. That's just
people are telling us Stefanski's system's antiquated. That's the biggest criticism from a lot of the detractors.
Which would not be a reason to draft a quarterback, but that'll be another conversation we'll have later on at some other point, not even in today. Oh, it's already started. Hey, I Jonathan over here. All right, if Cam Ward were there, I'll take Cam Ward. I'm fine with it. Jonathan's running to the table already for Shador Sanders. But it's already started. They know I'm going to mention Shador Sanders, and they're already in. 216-474-0092. I'll throw it out there right now before I even start any of this. What's stopping you from drafting Shador Sanders? Because Mary Kay Cabot yesterday, she put out something on social media where if you were afraid, it might have calmed some fears. Said he's confident. Andrew Berry said he's confident that Deion Sanders would be fine with his son Shador playing for the Browns. That's Mary Kay Cabot 12 hours ago, live from Mobile. We will have her coming up tomorrow morning at 8:20, live from Mobile. We'll have Zach Jackson from Mobile, Alabama, coming up today at 9. So what's stopping you from drafting Shador? You need a quarterback. You're there at 2. He's the second-best quarterback. You're probably not going to be in a position to draft Cam Ward unless somebody trades up and drafts that goes after Shador Sanders, and fine. But what's stopping you from taking Shador? Because I'm not going to fan the flames of, you know, what I've seen over the last couple of years. There's definitely things that he needs to get better at. I think he holds on to the ball. I think he too long. I think he's slight. I think that times when a guy holds on to the ball, well, what's that mean? I think a guy holds on to the ball, one, because he's afraid to turn the ball over. Two, he's probably afraid to turn the ball over because he's not processing as quick as what maybe he should. Which that can be a scary scenario. Like, he is not a perfect prospect. None of these guys are. But if I'm going to make a defense for Shador Sanders, I'll say it again. I think that he's the guy out of this draft that is the most ready to deal with all of this. I don't want to, and I'm already getting it from, what we got here? Trailer Park Life. This was from Tom. If you draft Shador Sanders, you're drafting Deion. You're inviting another circus like Johnny Manziel that will end poorly. If you draft Ward, do you want a guy on your team that quit on his team in a bowl game, planning for Manning? All right, well, you got time in the world. They don't. The Browns don't. Second of all, Johnny Manziel had a drug problem. I'm not going to put that on Shador Sanders. Third of all, I don't know. I'd rather have the circus that surrounds Shador Sanders, if we're going to call that a circus. They just made that team a better team each year that they were there. Did the same at Jackson State. I'd rather have that than whatever this circus has been over the last three. The only time that we've been good is when the quarterback that they traded 3 first-round picks for wasn't on the football team, or really wasn't even in the stadium, for that matter. I'd rather have that. So those things don't wash with me. If you just think he ain't good, all right, fine. 216-474-0092. What's keeping you from drafting Shador Sanders? If Deion's okay with it.
Let me give you one, because I've been with you. You know, a week ago I said I didn't totally have a conviction on this, and I'm trending towards where you are. If, you know, Cam's off the board, they're sitting there too. Given their situation, do they just take Shador Sanders? Let me throw a name at you, because I want to be as transparent as I possibly can. What did I say about Bo Nix and the year he had with Denver? I said, amazing year. It proves that you can't just listen to pundits when they say, you can't take this guy, you can't take this guy. Bo Nix is clearly good enough to help a team get to the playoffs. But I also said at the end of the year, that's with Sean Payton, that's with the advantage of Payton. They're going to build more talent around Bo Nix and everything. But is Bo Nix ultimately going to be the answer to contending for Super Bowls? And I said, probably not. Now, it's early to make that claim, but I said, probably not. don't I have to think Shedeur Sanders is better than Bo Nix for me to want to take him at two?
Yes.
And right now I'm not.
You don't.
Totally
you don't believe
sure.
that.
No, it's not that I'm ruling it out.
It's January 29th.
It's January 29th.
That's fine.
I'm not positive that he is. So given that.
That's fair.
It's the only thing that's making me hold off. Meaning, the ceiling. What is the ceiling for Shedeur? And if I think that ceiling is kind of limited, does that make me think, well, I don't know if I can take him at two? Because that is such an investment. That's such an investment. And I don't know when we're going to be up here again. Is this going to be the crack at it? Or could I take him and then turn around and take a quarterback next year? Could I do that? Could I do what the Cardinals did when they went Rose and Kyler Murray?
Absolutely, you can do that. There are no rules here. There are absolutely no rules. Guys, I can see, and it would get ugly. And you'd have to batten down the hatches because Deion's not certainly going to go quietly about it. You could see a scenario where, worst case, he plays too early. Kevin really don't know what the hell he's doing with him. Nobody knows what the hell he's doing with him. He doesn't know how to do it. That processing thing I was just talking about is a big problem then. And then you don't know what you're doing and they're just losing. And then you start to fire a general manager and you fire a head coach. Then you're having a conversation with a new general manager. All right, we're probably going to have a high draft pick again. Then we are having these conversations about Myles Garrett's future without the Cleveland Browns because Andrew Berry would no longer be here. So then you would go from that and say, all right, do we need to take another quarterback because this guy ain't going to get it done for us? Do we trade this kid? I mean, that's the worst case scenario. Because Deion, by that time, will be... I ain't going to say that Deion's going to be quiet about everything. Deion would get very loud at that point and go, get my son the hell out of here. Get my son out of Berea. Get him out of Cleveland. Get this brown and orange off of him. Get him away. Which is every reason in the world why a fan might be like, you know what, Kenny, I just ain't comfortable with something like that. All right, I'll listen to you. But you need a quarterback. You need a quarterback who can deal with the weight of being a Browns quarterback. And what's that mean? You know damn well what that means. You ain't looking for a quarterback. You're looking for Jesus. And that's a lot of pressure to put on a young man. Okay, I think he's the most ready to have something like that. But if it goes poorly, it's going to go real bad. Ain't going to go as bad as what the last 3 years have been, but it's going to go real bad.
Chris, there's one
really,
other,
really spectacularly bad.
There's one other alternative.
You need a guy.
Instead of taking a quarterback two straight years, like let's say Shedeur is good. He's good. The team actually may be better than you were thinking. So he's showing you a lot of different things, but the team is stuck in mud. The team's not winning games. You know what the...
Hell, that might be even worse.
But you know what that would mean.
That might be even worse.
You know what that would mean next offseason, who we would be talking about hiring.
Who?
We'd be talking about hiring Deion Sanders.
Judas Priest, I didn't realize that.
I mean, if they were to go 6-11... And it's like, hey, Shador's good. Maybe he was limited a little bit by this situation. Like, who could come in and help him?
Didn't even think about that. That'd be doubling down on nuts, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be, 100%.
Of course, if anybody's going to double down on nuts, it's us here. What do you want to say over there?
I mean, the Bears fired their coach, right? And they found Ben Johnson. Well,
we would fire our coach and find Deion Sanders.
Might be the case, right?
Would Pat Shurmur return with him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why
get
not?
Out of here. Get the hell.
He
out
was
of
good
here.
With Pat Shurmur this year.
He was good with Pat Shurmur this year. I'll admit it.
Now you get the hell out.
Of RMS in West Park. You're next.
We'll have a cake ready to go.
Good morning. Listen, man. So
what's stopping you from drafting Shedeur Sanders, RMS?
So listen, I don't think we have the front office, right, to be dealing with a personality like Deion Sanders. I think it's awesome what he's doing, protecting his kid, right, making sure that he goes to the best possible situation. But this kind of reminds me a little bit of when we brought Odell Beckham here. We just didn't have the right people to sustain personality like that. So the fact that we have to get his blessing, to me, says that he shouldn't come here. You understand?
Or wouldn't you see Aramis? I think differently. When we're talking about talent at that position, then I just get rid of the decision makers. I go find them. Well, I always bet on the talent.
Okay. Well, listen, right before the screener took my call, you said what you said about hiring Deion and having him come here. That is a complete different conversation. Do you understand? That's a different conversation, and it makes a lot of sense. But my original phone call was, if we're going to take a quarterback, right, and you were to take the Mel Kuypers out of the world, out of it, you know, the people that think they know football but get it wrong every year, who is the best quarterback in this draft? Who just went through the gauntlet of playing the best teams? Who showed that he can make those passes? Who's a 6'4", 250 guy? Who is an actual leader, right? I'm talking about Howard. Obviously.
I know who you're talking about.
why is he not being mentioned? I don't get it. I do not get it.
Well,
in a draft where there's no consensus number one, the kid just showed he belongs. Nobody's mentioning him.
Aramis,
I'm driving. Wait a minute.
Right? You've been listening to the show for how long? You've been a caller for a long time.
Right.
Have we or have we not talked about Will Howard on this show?
Sparingly.
Okay.
Sparingly. Not enough.
Let me ask you one more question before I let you go.
Yeah, but where are you talking about taking him?
Where's he want to? Where do you want to take him?
I'm here.
Where do you want to take him?
Listen, if he's the guy, he's the guy. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow. You would take him too.
All right, never mind.
Say it. I mean, don't.
If he's the guy.
Say it with your chest.
If he's the best quarterback, you take him where you need to take him. That's it.
Thank you for the call.
So what's so interesting to me is that after 50 plus games as a starter, he was considered a day three prospect, and it wasn't until the final four games. Right? Because remember what people were thinking after the Michigan game? And I know, might have been concussed. It was not a good game.
I think he was concussed.
I think you had a concussion. It was as bad as the Kyle McCord experience at that same game a year ago. So he has vaulted. And this does happen. I mean, Baker Mayfield, look at how he vaulted. We talked about where he was projected. He was going to be a late day two. And then next thing you know, he's before the season. Yeah. Next thing you know, he's the number one pick in the draft. So guys absolutely do catapult up. But they had 50-plus games as him as a starting quarterback in Kansas State. He's not some newfangled, hey, this guy was shot out of a cannon out of nowhere. He was playing major college football. Remember, he was 0-4 against Texas. There were a lot of warts on there. And can 4 games change that?
I mean, you heard the podcast. I mean, you were on the podcast yesterday. You know what I said on the podcast yesterday. You want to hear the podcast yesterday? Fine. Play the clip.
There's a quarterback I'm in love with, and I can't help it. I can't fight this feeling
anymore. Kyle McCord's fun. He gets rid of the ball fast.
No, it's who replaced Kyle McCord at Ohio State. I'm falling in love with Will Howard. Guys, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to do this. Something about him tells me he can be a special QB. Not that I'm going to run up to the podium and take him number two. Not that. But there's something about him where I'm like, man, I want to see what this kid's about.
It's hard. It's hard not to like him. It is very hard not to like
him. That was us on location at the Senior Bowl yesterday.
That was us on location in a construction site yesterday as they work on one of the other studios.
We always do it in.
Yes, the Emerging Podcast Scene presented by Extend Technologies.
Live from the Echo Chamber.
Tuesdays and Thursdays on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app. I mean, it's hard for me to not fall in love with Will Howard. I'm doing my damnedest not to. I'm going to have Zach Jackson on at 9 o'clock. I'm going to hope that he knocks me down on the Will Howard
Kenny,
thing.
I fell in love with him as an Ohio State quarterback
during that
tournament run.
It's tough not to. But what's stopping folks from drafting Shedeur Sanders? 216-474-0092. If his name was Shedeur Smith, would people feel the same way?
Well, I was going to ask, he said Aramis. It was a great call.
Because the first thing Aramis brings up is Deion.
Well, but he also brought up his personality, right? Well, Cam Ward, I mean, do you know how they talk about his personality down in South Florida? They're like, he fit right in. He was made for the glitz, made for the glamour of South Beach. That's what they said about him when he came in. They said he fit right
in. Well, we're not glitz and glamour. Hard-working, blue-collar town, brother.
But would Aramis have said the same thing about Cam Ward that he said about Shedeur? Because
I don't know. I can't put words in Aramis's mouth.
Because he is, like, Cam is also supposed to be a guy that can handle all of that stuff. And they talk about his leadership. Both of these guys, that is the one thing they say, the similarities between these two is that they are born leaders. They are leaders. If we can't have a born leader here, if Cleveland's not right for a born leader, then Cleveland's not right for anybody.
But I don't think that they went to 8-4 2 years after going 1-11. Before he got there, I understand that, before he got there, with Shedeur Sanders just sitting on his hands and being quiet.
Right.
I can't imagine that. And I know he had good receivers to throw to. I'm supposed to not have any good receivers? Jerry Jeudy's not a good receiver? So I'm trying to knock it down because you need a quarterback. You're at the number two spot. When am I planning to be at the number two spot? Again, I love a lot of things about Will Howard, and I love a lot of things about Jackson Dart, and there's a lot of upside about those guys. I'm falling in love with these types of players. But damn, when am I ever going to be there? And am I just denying myself great talent at the top of the draft because I'm afraid of his dad? I don't want to do that. 216-474-0092. What's stopping you from drafting Shedeur Sanders after you hear Andrew Berry say, nah, I think they'd be perfectly fine with coming here to Cleveland?
This is Cleveland Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
Audio courtesy of the FanDuel Sports Network. I loved, and I'm sure you loved last night. What a hell of a game. Third quarter, that's ass. They came out so hot. Max Strus back-to-back threes, Tone, the Strus moose was flying.
Well, you know, if Max Strus is getting a couple threes, we're in good shape.
Yes, we are. All right, go ahead.
It was good. You know, it was such a great night all the way around just because you got those announcements right before tip-off. And the only thing you were wondering is, oh, Trae Young didn't make the All-Star game. He leads the NBA in assists, at least he did. He was almost up to 12 at one point, and he didn't make the All-Star game. It just shows you right now how healthy the league is when it comes to talent. That the league might not be healthy when it comes to all the conversations that people are having about it, but when Kyrie doesn't make... If you looked at Kyrie's shooting numbers this year, incredible. Yeah. When Kyrie doesn't make the All-Star game, when Trae Young doesn't make the All-Star game, it shows you how deep the roster is right now of just how many guys are really good in this league.
Well, also, there's no problem with talent. I think there's a problem with stars. I think there is a difference between stardom and talent. I think that there's guys who are less talented, they become bigger stars. I think there's guys who are supremely talented, and for whatever reason, they just don't ascend to that. Tim Duncan is one of the greatest basketball players who ever lived. I don't think that anybody who's just a general sports fan, I think they go, oh, yeah, and Tim Duncan. But there's guys that Tim Duncan was better than who you would name before Tim Duncan. And now I think we have a league full of Tim Duncans. They're all quiet. They all want to stay home and play video games. And like, there's no, they're like LeBron, like, yeah, yeah, I mean, you know, and it's a different generation. I know LeBron's 40 years old. Guys play video games in LeBron's generation.
Certain guys transcend that though, right? Like Steph Curry is a boring guy, but people come to watch him 2 hours before tip off.
I don't think he's boring.
Go through a shooting routine.
I don't think he's boring. He's boring.
Yeah, I kind of do.
I don't.
They tried to put him on. They tried to really maximize him as like some blockbuster dynamic personality, and it just never really took off. But it doesn't matter. His game, people will always want to see that guy shoot from wherever. That's just something people are always going
to
want
to
see.
Well, to me, that's part of the LeBron problem that the NBA has. Like LeBron versus Steph Curry, there will always be Steph Curry against LeBron. So maybe that makes Steph Curry a more entertaining person than maybe he should have been, because you're next to LeBron, and LeBron is a very entertaining individual for a multitude of reasons. Like, nobody's bored by LeBron, even if the people who are listening who hate him, you're not bored by him. And I think that the NBA has a boredom problem with the personalities that they don't have. The guys that they have who are really good basketball players. I mean, there's some good basketball players that are just, they're not from here. So I think that there is a difference. There are guys who, again, are more mercurial than they've ever been before. Again, they're quiet. They hang out on their phone. And I don't think that that's really good for a league that's built on stardom. Like I heard, I had this conversation yesterday with our boss. You know, putting Patrick Mahomes against LeBron James, and he was making the argument that Patrick Mahomes has done more for the NFL than LeBron has done for the NBA, at least recently. And I said, you're absolutely nuts. If Patrick Mahomes never existed, we would just love Josh Allen. And Josh Allen, we would either love or hate Josh Allen, and Josh Allen would be the guy that people are sick and tired of winning. I would believe. Lamar Jackson would have a better chance to win. The NFL's the NFL. It's print and move on. In the NBA, you need Michael, you need Magic, Larry, as big as
Patrick Mahomes is. If he suffered a season-ending injury last year in week three, would the NFL ratings dip?
No.
I kind of don't know that they would. Maybe in the AFC Championship game like last week,
unless it was like Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson, that would have gotten massive ratings.
That's what it's going to be if it's not Patrick Mahomes.
And it would have got I'm surprised. I said this to Owen, and I'm not like wishing an injury, but I said it to Owen. I said, I can't believe that he's not had a season-ending injury yet. This is amazing. Every great quarterback has an injury that takes him out for a year.
It is weird you have that voodoo doll that you carry
around. Well, yeah, you know, I can't stand him. But
it's felt – there have been times in this league where LeBron is not only bigger than the team he's on, kind of felt like he would set policy for the league. His press conferences, especially at like the NBA Finals, he would create and carve out the talking points for the entire league, where the rules are going.
Well, that's because he's involved in the union and all that. Those guys are high up in the union. The NFL, it's some lineman. That's the guy that runs it.
The NFL is very much protect the shield at all costs. That means that no player can really get in. They can hold players in higher regard. I think that Patrick Mahomes and Roger Goodell probably have each other's phone numbers, but he's not going to get a seat at the table. LeBron, I think, in very much a lot of ways, is a partner with the NBA.
He's going to be an owner.
Yes, and is a partner of Adam Silver and was a partner of David Stern, for that matter. I always get it mixed up now that he passed away. No offense. I get it mixed up with Daniel Stern. Do you ever do that?
I get Silver. I get his name wrong from a Beverly Hills 90210 character from 30 years ago. I've called him David Silver so many times.
Well, because of David Stern, Adam Silver.
Yes, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, you'll do that.
It really bothers me that I can't get out of that.
But that's where I think the NBA has its problem. I'm such a big, and like, I was so happy last night. I really was. I don't know why I was so pumped. I think it was because, you know, we've had these, not really you and me. You've not been too mean about Evan Mobley. You're a critical individual. But I think you haven't been nasty about Evan Mobley. Like, I've had a couple of people who have non-stop until this year, oddly enough, emailed me about Evan Mobley and how I've been wrong about Evan Mobley. I carry his water. We've had knockdown dragouts with people on the phones about Evan Mobley. I was pumped, so pumped, I think, because of that last night, that he was named an All-Star. I mean, I was like, man, I'm fanboying for this kid.
Evan,
he's 23 years old.
I'll tell you, Evan is one of the guys where, you know how you have these pre-draft convictions on guys, and when they drafted, I'm like, okay, and then literally one game. I saw one regular season game, and I'm like, oh, okay, no, I understand. I'm an idiot. How did I not see this coming, like, immediately? And he has been such a joy to watch. It's been up and down. It's been a roller coaster.
Yes.
But this year you just saw his game take off, and it's not just the shooting threes. Like, that was just, he's actually kind of slumping lately when it comes to threes, but you could just tell the 3-point shooting was just symbolic for his entire game, how hard he worked. And that's what I think you absolutely love seeing. 'Cause you're like, man, if he worked this hard on this, look, and his body as well.
Yeah.
You could just tell he's going to have so much more confidence, and he's had that this year. From basically the start of the year, he has had that confidence.
Here's Kenny Atkinson on all those guys being named All-Stars, as it officially happened, where, you know, Mitchell made the All-Star starters last week. Garland and Mobley were named All-Stars last night before tip-off.
So proud.
You can't take that from them. You know, they'll have it on their resumes the rest of their lives, and it's unique. You know, to have three guys on the All-Star team, I mean, that's phenomenal. I'm glad, really happy, you know, media, coaches, you know, they recognized, you know, how good those guys have been. I just told Kobe, man, hey, listen, Kobe, you drafted two guys that are All-Stars. You got to pick those guys. Sure, we got this team, and we got a really good team, but, you know, there's teams that missed on those guys, and that's really, the credit starts with him.
That's Kenny Atkinson yesterday on it. There was an exception that was made, or an omission that was made. You can't put them all on the All-Star team, but Jared Allen was left off, and this is what Kenny Atkinson had to say about that.
Were you disappointed Jared didn't make it?
Yes.
Did you think that was possible?
Yes. Just because of our record, especially with our historic start, right? The 50 is like, man, people are going to, you know, I thought it could turn that way. So, little, you know, disappointed in that.
Darius Garland, this is where I talk about the stardom thing. Darius Garland has the potential to be a big star, or as close to a star as they can find. Evan is young. He's 23 years old. Now, he is more of the quiet type. No one's ever accused him of being a bombastic individual. If he ended up like Dennis Rodman, I think I'd be shocked. I think I'd be more surprised, less surprised if my face was sewn to the carpet tomorrow morning. But these are younger guys. Jared is not old, but Jared is not of the standing, I think, to a lot of the voters or to a lot of the way that the NBA selects this, that what Darius Garland and Evan Mobley are. And I think that Kenny Atkinson's absolutely right. Because you can't put all five out there on the All-Star team.
You said something before the show that I had to ask, and I wasn't trying to be a jerk at all.
But you're supposed to examine.
You said something about Evan Mobley, and I'm like, well, you got to tell me what that means.
I'm still worried about the definition of it, though. Has Evan Mobley arrived? What does arrive mean to me? Do people go to the arena to see Evan Mobley? Has this career started to become justified? And I say yes. He is not Donovan Mitchell. I think he is. I think we can have ourselves a good argument between him and Darius Garland. But I ask you, has Evan Mobley arrived? Is he a person that they go to like people in Sacramento, do they go to games to see Evan Mobley?
No.
If they're in town?
No, he's not there yet.
No. So has he arrived in that sense? Because I'm like, well, he's not. I don't think that, like, if you were to hear, just hearing some names, like, oh, I got it. Well, yeah, we can go see him. But it's like, well, is he there yet? I don't know if he's there yet. But I think in terms of like, okay, he's justified now by the franchise. He's justified by Kobe Altman. I mean, you were bringing up the Chet Holmgren thing. I think he's arrived in that sense. But I think it's a moving definition. Like, I kind of got it. I'm glad I brought it up with you before the show because I kind of wanted to spring it on you a little bit.
Yeah, it's tough.
But I'm like, well, I still got to figure out my definition of what arrived is for Evan.
It's tough for Evan. Evan came into the league and he was instantly one of the best defensive players in the league. But his numbers do not jump out at you at all. Like, there's nothing about his numbers where you're like, holy cow, look at what Evan Mobley is doing there in Cleveland. Like, that's not going to happen. You got to watch the games. You got to watch the games to see how he impacts everything defensively. And not just him. He impacts the other four guys on the floor so dramatically. I mean, you saw that when he was out with the calf injury. But, you know, think about what happened with Evan. You know, he comes in the league, kind of gets pushed around. His offensive game has just never been there until this year. He started coming alive really at the end of the Boston series last year because he was not good offensively in that Orlando series last year. He was actually really bad. And then he grew leaps and bounds in one series, part of it's matchup-wise, but like Al Horford could not guard him, and the Cavs kind of figured that out at the end of that series. And then it was a different story, but you know it was too little too late, and Cavs were too banged up. You know, also with Evan, Chet came into the league immediately shooting, immediately looked like a better offensive player. And then not to mention Wemby. Wemby comes in, and Wemby is just a convert. Like, we're calling Evan Mobley a unicorn. What is Wemby?
I think unicorn kind of comes out of, he does a lot of things, obviously. But I think also part of me to the unicorn is that he comes out of relative obscurity. I mean, Wemby, they sent people to France to report live, boots on the ground, about Victor Wembanyama's game. Whereas, you mean, it's like Evan Mobley. All right, you see like a couple of games at USC for the season he was there, and that's it. So I think Victor came in as a guy who, like, well, this guy's going to be the next big thing.
But so that's what I mean. So Evan kind of gets overshadowed when it comes to the big men that, you know, that's when you say, has he arrived? Well, I think he's arrived for people that know the game.
For NBA fans, for NBA guys, I think he's arrived.
The junkies know how pivotal he is and why he gives the Cavs a different kind of a ceiling as he goes. Because if Donovan Mitchell's the best player on your team, you know, there's probably a limited ceiling there. When Evan Mobley is the best player on your team, you know, it changes everything. Well, because now you've got a wing defender, you've got a wing player, you know, you've got a guy who can just take it coast to coast. And then a dominant defensive player.
It's going to be, I mean, what an unveiling we're going to have in the postseason here, because I think that's the next step is the aggression that I think he's shown a little bit more this year, but it's going to be ratcheted up, obviously, because that you're going to need him if you're going to have a shot against Boston. I mean, we're just shouting into the wind and hoping, unless he goes out there and plays the way that he's played in a lot of these games. If he plays the way he's played in a lot of these games and the reasonable reason that he's an all-star, you will have a shot against Boston. Because it can't just be, as you said, it just can't be Donovan. Or you can get to the Eastern Conference Finals. You will not get past that basketball team. News keeps getting better for Ohio State fans. It's been a very nice 2 weeks for Ohio State. I mean, give or take the Jim Knowles thing. If you guys decide to be petty about that, that's on you. I decide to, if I were an Ohio State fan, I should say, it should be a sunny day, and it should be a bunch of sunny days for you for a while, at least until spring ball happens, and then it's time to bear down and get ready for 2025. But it should be a very nice time. Jim Knowles is gone. You should be able to replace him fairly efficiently. Maybe Chip Kelly will be gone. You should be able to replace him fairly efficiently. We'll see how it goes. The onus is going to be on Ryan Day. However, it's a great day for a Buckeye fan, so I'm going to let the Buckeye fan take it away.
Yeah, 137-page document.
That's a lot.
That came out from Michigan's point of view, which actually had Michigan fans panicking. So it's one thing to have the allegations, the notice of allegations, which we know this had been brewing for a long period of time, but finally Michigan got their chance to respond. And it's so interesting. The irony is that in Michigan's response, we now finally know what they copped to. And what they copped to were things that they originally, we were hearing from people that they were never going to cop to, which was, the OC and the DC actually knew about their comprehensive scouting procedures and protocols, which ran afoul of NCAA guidelines, right? The Connor Stallion stuff.
Yeah.
You know, originally it was only Connor Stallions knew this with some low-level staffers. No, your OC and your DC knew it. And if they knew it, your coach knew it. Like, come on. I was not somebody who had the biggest problem in the world with stealing signs. I told you. I thought some of that was sour grapes by Buckeye fans to worry about that, especially when they beat us even after all of this was uncovered and Stallions was no longer part of the program. With that said, Michigan fans were saying that none of these people knew this stuff, and Michigan has now finally admitted that they did that and some of the cooperation with other teams that they were trading with. So they outline just how far
Central
this thing
Michigan
went.
Central Michigan mentioned.
There's a few schools mentioned in here. So
pretty convenient for Jim McElwain to decide to retire, is it not? Okay.
Right.
Continue.
I mean,
go ahead.
Absolutely.
This is your moment.
So then the Sharon Moore's deleted texts and also the biggie.
I got more on that later.
The biggie here is that everybody assumed it was Ohio State that turned in Michigan on this stuff. Michigan admitted it was from their own campus.
So I understand that why this might go down. Actually, no, I don't understand why it would go down. I don't live in that world. I'm not an academic. I don't live in academia. I do think that good football, good athletics can be good for a university. I think that it could perpetuate. I knew about Michigan football well before I knew about Michigan law. I knew about Ohio State football well before I knew about Ohio State, the medical center. I learned that Ohio State had a good med program because of Ohio State football. The same thing with Michigan football. I think that these things can be, yes, I know that there's a sleazy side, and there has been for a long time, but they can be a good billboard for universities, and that's why they try to put money into them. I cannot understand or believe a school, because of their football program, that has felt like it's on its ass for the better part of 20 years, with the exception of a couple of seasons, that's been on its ass, and that somebody would be a whistleblower on this from the inside. Now, I can't condone harassment, and I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking at it from my own point of view. If I worked at the Ohio State University, me, and I'm not an Ohio State fan, you always call me a Michigan fan, right? Say all this was still right, still true. Ain't no way, if I knew anything about Ohio State football, doing any of this stuff, there ain't no way I'm telling anybody about anything. No. For my own good, I ain't doing any of this. For my own good. The Sharon Moore thing, I'll talk about that in a second. That's ridiculous. I can't wait to get to that. But I can't believe anybody would do it. Because I don't understand how somebody who would have... Lima, like you'll bring up, there will be people in academic positions at the University of Michigan who don't like Michigan football.
That resent the Yeah, institution, yeah.
They don't like that their institution of higher learning.
I've seen it at Ohio State. Yes. Very, very, believe it or not, there are
people. Woody Hayes fought it all the time.
There are people very high up at Ohio State on the academic wing that can't stand the preferential treatment the football team and their players get.
But how would those people, if it were a Michigan person like that, who resented Michigan football, that resented what Michigan football stands for, whatever that may be, how would they get that information? Mm-hmm. How could you let the information get into their hands? If it were a high academic who wanted nothing but to see Michigan football be ostracized, put lower so we can up the ante for academics at the university, how could you let that happen?
Especially considering it was just considered widespread what Michigan reporters were saying. They were all speculating. You can go back and look at the reports. They're all out there. The people in the Michigan realm were all saying this came from Ryan Day, Ryan Day's family. They were doxxed because of it. They got a lot of threats because of it. And none of it was true. In fact, it was completely untrue. So here's where it gets interesting. So NCAA, of course, had their notice of allegations. We still don't know the proposed penalties against Michigan. Six of the 11 violations deemed to be level one, and the NCAA asserting that Michigan failed to monitor the football program. There was speculation yesterday, again, it's just speculation, and the NCAA is in a much different place today than it was, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, with the trestle stuff. But there are people speculating that a playoff ban is absolutely on the table.
They can really do that
for next year.
They can enforce that.
Who knows? Who knows? But this is all. If you look at on Yahoo, Dellinger and a lot of the speculation that ensued afterwards, that you know, there could be a crippling penalty. So we'll see. I thought we were past it. I thought we were done.
This is where is Ted Cruz going to be in charge of the Commerce Committee? Do we know that? Because if I know we're getting into some high-level politics here. Go with me on this. He already said if he were in charge, if he goes in charge of the Commerce Committee, he was set to take a. Now, guys, I'm not Wolf Blitzer. I don't know. If he was in charge of the Commerce Committee, he says that there's going to be some things that go the NCAA's way here very shortly. That's kind of going to go harking back to the way college football was.
That's what Tommy Tuberville wants.
And that is possibly the worst thing for any Michigan fan out there listening. Because everything the NCAA says, I just go, well, it's toothless.
Yeah.
They can gum at them, but they can't really do anything. It's like a catfish. You're not really going to get bit up by a catfish. It's just, it's going to look bad. But that's about it. And I think for Michigan fans, you're kind of hoping that now it's like, well, if they're actually going to give the NCAA back power, well, that's real bad. That's $20 million.
Well, and the other part of this is
a playoff ban?
You wonder what Tony Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner, is thinking, because you know for a fact that you had a bunch of schools. It wasn't just Ohio State. You had a bunch of schools that were furious over this cheating scandal. And
now, this is before you, right? This is before Tony Petitti.
Yes. Okay. Yes, but I'm saying you know for a fact that there are a bunch of teams in the Big Ten that are like, yeah, Michigan brings in a lot of money. We got other schools now, too. We got Oregon. We got USC. We're going to be just fine if Michigan gets put in their place for what they did and what they did to the conference, because they humiliated. They humiliated these other schools. And the fact that this went on, I mean, this kind of full-scale, comprehensive cheating scandal, you know, got to the point where we're still talking about it. It's January. It's almost February of 2025. And Michigan denied all wrongdoing at first. Harbaugh was incredulous about it. Then he runs away to the NFL. And guys, does it not look, can we not put 3 and 3 together here that OC knew about it, DC knew about it, everybody at Michigan knew about it. Everybody knew about it. They were laughing. Michigan, on their way to the national championship, was laughing at the rest of the college football world. We got away with it. Maybe not so fast.
The best part of it, I really find the most entertaining part of it for me, was the Sharon Moore explanation of why he deleted Connor Stallion's information. Quote, so I deleted, I had to look, it seems so fantastical to me, I had to look it up like three times over to make sure yesterday. Quote, so I deleted all the information, all Connor on my phone. This is what Moore says in the document. quote, and it wasn't to hide anything. It was just that I was extremely, extremely angry of, you know, the type of person that would do this to this program and these kids.
You're not even going to let him finish the sentence before you do that.
Hold on. Let me tell you this, though. Did Sherrone Moore weep tears? He thanked Jim Harbaugh before he thanked God. Did he or did he not?
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, right? If anybody would get emotional and maybe actually be telling the truth here, I ain't Sherrone Moore. I don't believe Jim Harbaugh. If Jim Harbaugh were to say the same thing, I go, no, you're full of it. No, you'll win at all costs. You're a major college football coach. Sherrone Moore, I kind of believe. I believe he might have got that mad. I can't believe you'd put us in this position and get rid of all this stuff. It seems ridiculous. Because anybody else, if it were you, if it were me, Kenny, you know better. Of course I know better. Why would I delete the information? I delete the information because I don't want to be tied to it. And any college football coach out there, whether it be Joe Moorhead at Akron or whether it be Ryan Day at Ohio State, you wouldn't believe him. Sherrone Moore, there are so many guys, so many emotional football guys who believe in their program so much, they don't see it the way we do. Like some of the best college football coaches, they see it for the business that it is and see that things can change based on what they do. Sherrone Moore might be that much of a football guy, that much of a Michigan football guy. He might have done it out of anger.
Yeah, but
do you think he knew
or didn't know what Stallions was doing?
I think he did.
Yeah,
but
of course he
but
knew.
I think the reasoning
these guys
behind
are
it,
caught in a lie. They
I
got
think,
caught. In
I don't
the
think he's lying about
ever.
This. I don't think he's lying about this. But the guy wept on national television.
But they all originally denied the Connor Stallion stuff.
That's true.
They're lying. They're That's liars. True. They're big fat Michigan
he's,
liars.
He's,
yes, all of them.
I think he's lying about that. But I don't think he's lying about the reasons why he deleted the information.
Well, whatever. I will say this. As an Ohio State fan, I don't want him to be suspended from the playoffs. I don't want them to be banned from the playoffs. I want to beat them fair and square. I don't want to have this lingering. I don't want them to say that this is all some big conspiracy. The humiliation that is associated with their national championship is all.
You don't want there to be any punishment?
This is the punishment.
After what they did to you?
As I've said, this is the punishment. That they can't tell the story about Michigan football and that national championship without the huge all-time comprehensive cheating scandal being mentioned in the next sentence. That is their punishment.
The urban
and that
stuff,
is what they have
whoa.
To live with.
You pay attention to those message boards. I don't. You're on Reddit. I'm not.
Oh, no. This is in real life.
After
Their shirts, all their bet merchandise, it's because of the cheating scandal. They even bought merchandise to cement their cheating scandal. This is what they have to live with. That's the penalty.
No.
That's what's so great.
No.
It's going to go down in history.
They
Michigan fans are going to be buried. They are. That's the thing. Nobody's giving them respect for their national championship.
You are outlining.
We win.
You are,
and then Ohio State wins the very next year. We beat them the next year with
you
the national
are,
championship. It's incredible.
You are becoming too
How
slippery for the slippery wizard.
How humiliating for Michigan. You're never letting this thing die. It's never going away. It's always going to be
no
mentioned.
Way you agree with this. There's no way.
I don't
Ohio
need
State,
to agree or disagree.
I've not seen even that, Ohio State fan.
The guy that I know is the biggest Ohio State in my life is that guy right there.
Yes.
And he is taking his victory lap on it, and
they,
I love it.
They sold their soul to the devil, and this is what it looks like. You get humiliated with PR. Your coach leaves. Your legendary coach has to leave to the NFL with his tail between his legs, and now the NCAA is going to come down on him. The Big Ten might have to come down on him. I don't even need any of that. I just need this. The story's never going away. It's cemented for the history books that this scandal went on. They all lied about it, and now we know, and the NCAA knows it too.